T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
KMOX News Time 833. Welcome to Monday. It is March the 25th, and we welcome back into Studio B, Charlie Brennan.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, everyone.
Long time no see.
It's been a while.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And welcoming back into Studio B, Keith Alper, our neighbor from downstairs. I always have to say that. I don't know why. I just like that you're our neighbor.
Yeah, I'm your neighbor.
Founder and CEO of Nitrous Effect and Creative Producers Group. Okay, it had been rumored to be coming out for, you know, every Friday. I think it's coming out this Friday. And last Friday was finally the day. The Bob Mueller report coming out. Special Counsel Robert Mueller did not find Donald Trump or his campaign schemed with Russian efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. The president, of course, all weekend saying he is completely exonerated. The Mueller investigation, however, did not reach any conclusion about whether the president obstructed justice. We have seen the letter from Attorney General Barr. We have not seen the report. What are your initial thoughts from over the weekend, Charlie Brennan?
Oh, well, the initial thoughts were, just like you said, it was released Friday, but we didn't get it till yesterday. You know how sometimes there's bad news and it's released on Friday because, you know, the news on Saturday is not picked up as much by people who consume news. So I don't know if this was purposeful or not, but they did wait until Sunday afternoon so that people would be talking about it on Monday morning. I think it is good news for the president because there was no collusion with the Trump campaign in Russia to affect the outcome of the 2016 election. So I think it was a complete waste of our time. I really do. That's my big conclusion here.
Keith?
I'm happy it's out. I'm happy we can move on. You know, the president's been saying no collusion. I don't know. I mean, there's still some stuff out there. He'll be in the New York courts and a number of different things, but the country can move further, you know, along on this issue.
All right. Over the weekend as well, former Senator Claire McCaskill, I think she was on Meet the Press? I can't remember. Yes, Meet the Press, saying that Democrats really should not dwell on this and they should not go into 2020 thinking that they should continue to beat this drum. What do you think, Keith?
I think from a marketing standpoint, each party needs to find their issues, especially what's affecting America in 2020, and I would leave this issue alone.
Well, I do think there are more important issues. I mean, obviously, Congress is going to ignore Claire McCaskill, and they're going to investigate President Trump every which way from Sunday. There's like 6 different committees which are going to hold investigations. But there is work in this nation to be done between the highways and the housing and the drug problem and the crime and you name it.
There are plenty of costs. Yeah, everything, you know.
So let's get to work, Washington. But it's not going to happen. The president's going to be investigated and the Congress was elected in November and they feel Democrats do certainly that's their role.
All right, let's talk about another investigation that we found out about over the weekend. And federal investigators are now wanting information from St. Louis County Executive Steve Stanger's office about some deals that the county cut with his campaign donors. Now, this is a story that we've been following for probably a year or more, but now there is an actual subpoena that came out late last week asking for all county contracts plus Mr. Stanger's call history, texts, and emails with current and former county employees regarding those contracts. How big of a deal do you think this is, Charlie?
They made a federal case out of it.
They did make
it. It's a federal investigation. It's a huge case, and the U.S. attorney doesn't waste his time, never does. And it's a very serious matter for Steve Stanger. As you say, we've been talking about this for a long time, so this is not entirely new, but I think this is the first time that they said that they were receiving subpoenas. You may recall there were members of the St. Louis County Council who, during session, said that they knew that federal investigators were in the county building and asking questions. Well, so this is just taking it one step further. But yeah, and we're going to talk to County Councilman Mark Harder next hour about this issue.
Any thoughts about this one, Keith?
I have no information on it. I just think it's interesting, like you said, when the federal government comes to investigate, they must have something to at least start to look at. You know, who knows what the outcome will be, but again, more confusion for our government to operate.
They may find no collusion.
No collusion.
I mean, that's possible, too. You know, the federal government doesn't always, isn't always right. That's, I'm absolutely sure. But it's a serious matter for the county executive. And I think that people have seen in published reports and here on KMOX, heard it here, that there seems to be a pretty strong connection between government contracts in the county and donors to the Stenger campaigns.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll take another look at the roadways and the weather as well. And then round two of OT, KMOX News Time, 8:38.
Let's go Blues! Hey, it's Joey Vitale here, and the Blues are looking to end their four-game homestand on a high note as they welcome the Vegas Golden Knights to town. Catch all the action with the pregame show at 6:30 and puck drop at 7 on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
All right, it's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Keith Alper and Charlie Brennan. In case you missed it, we have a big thing, a big bracket on the wall in our kitchen here. So somebody is dutifully writing down all of the winners as we move forward. And the NCAA's Sweet 16 is now set. And it is a college basketball dream. Just two teams from outside the NCAA's power conferences survived the tournament's first weekend, including top-seeded Gonzaga. Do you do your brackets, Keith?
We do our brackets down in the office, but I have no idea who to follow. So it's just a mathematical algorithm or something.
Yeah, I just start at either end and just like randomly work my way to the middle. And I'm always surprised at the end, like, oh, I have Gonzaga in the middle. Okay. Any thoughts about the weekend? Some really great games.
Well, I mean, the Duke win was a big deal.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
That's the only one I watched, Duke and UCF. I was impressed with UCF.
I know.
I thought, shouldn't they be getting pummeled at this point? But that Zion Williamson, I really do believe he's the next LeBron. He's a man among boys. He's just extraordinary. I wonder if he's really operating at 100%.
Yeah, I actually picked Duke to win, but I was rooting for UCF.
Yeah, right.
And so the 9-year-old in our family is the one who's telling us all about Taco Fall. Like, for weeks he's been telling, I'm like, what? There's nobody named Taco Fall. What are you talking about? But he knows, he's 9. He knows all these basketball players. So.
And I just hope that St. Louis University gets its, campaign and its team together so that it can even go further in the tournament. I actually find this as exciting as any other sport out there. It's exciting. It seems to get national interest. And honestly, I mean, maybe this is going a little too far. I think it would be good for the region if St. Louis University once again returned to basketball prominence.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be great for the city.
Yeah, we had some story last week about how much money and attention would come to SLU for each step that they move forward in the NCAA. So, unfortunately, they didn't make it that far, but... maybe next year.
Maybe next year, yeah.
And you know, that's
worth a lot of money.
The story behind the Chaffetz Arena and the whole, you know, he's still going to these games, mm-hmm. Mr. Chaffetz, who funded it. When he was a young kid, he didn't have money for tuition. So he went to, I think, either the president or the chancellor, Paul Reinert, at the time, and said, can you help me out? And so the school fronted him the money. And in return, he's donated tens of millions of dollars after he succeeded. What a great story that is.
He actually just came back and is now funding startups. So he just did a whole challenge. He'd like to...
yeah, partnered with Arch Grants.
Yeah, exactly, with Arch Grants. So. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I mean, and so the whole story about that team, the arena, the backers. Come on, let's go. Go Billikens.
Yeah. We're glad to have wealthy people investing in our community. We welcome them all. How about this one? Speaking of wealth, 6 million people say that their kids under the age of 18 have a credit card. Charlie.
Hey, don't start me on this one.
Charlie, would you give your kids a credit card at the age of 16?
16 is a little bit young, but I'm having problems with it right now, you know, because when the kids get the credit card at 18, they need a cosigner and there's always disputes about the bills. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, what was this one? Oh, it was at the bookstore. Well, what was on the, what did you buy at the bookstore? Was it a carton of Fritos or was it an actual book? And, you know, man, I am just an ATM these days. I'm sure my dad was saying the same thing when I was 18 years old, but those credit cards, they are a sure way to take money out of your pocket.
I think it gives, though, kids fiscal responsibility. I'm one that both my kids had credit cards young, and we talk about it, and I get the bill and look at it. They're both in college now, but I have had to co-sign. But I think once they get used to it and understand it, when they go get their own credit card, I think it makes it a little bit easier. That also doesn't mean that you say, hey, what was this $100 charge on X for? But I think it gives them great responsibility. Guess what? You can always turn it off.
Well, when my son comes back, you and I and my son are going to have a meeting, and you'll explain to him responsibility.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
Come to the Bank of Keith, and I can just decline, too. You know, so.
Well, you know, what we did with my 14-year-old is we got her my spending card through the bank. So it looks just like a credit card, but really it's a debit card because my credit card was attached to her iTunes account, which caused great consternation every month of me being like, what is this? What is happening? So now she has her own credit card number attached to that, but she has to load her own money onto it from her savings account. So it's like, if you want to buy a bunch of stupid apps, that's your babysitting money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. So maybe try that. Do we need to take a break or do we have, okay. One more. Let's see. According to a 4-year survey by the HR firm Peakon, workers with a greater than 50% female management representation were more engaged than male-led companies. Does that surprise you, Keith?
It doesn't surprise me. We work with a lot of big companies, Fortune 500, and we walk into more and more C-suites that are filled with women. And I think in really what's happened over time, there's more empathy. I think there's a lot of stuff that has come with women in leadership, and a lot of companies are embracing it. What should have been embraced 50 years ago is now being really embraced, and it shows with their teams, and it shows with their bottom line, and it also shows doing the right thing. But I would agree with this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by it, that's for sure, and I'm not going to put men down because I think there's some great managers and executives who are male, of course. I mean, that's just obvious. But women are ascendant right now, and you can see that in St. Louis with Suzanne Sitherwood at Spire and Diane Sullivan, not to mention Penny Pennington. Right now, many of our corporations are headed up by women, not to mention, you know, PR firms and architectural firms and so on and so forth. And I think that there are some social skills which women generally have more often than men that may work to their advantage in the workplace. Now, there might also be some skills that men have that work to their advantage, like, you know, knowing how to ask for money, that sort of thing. But overall, you know, I welcome it. And of course, our radio group here is headed up by Becky, who is a general manager and a female, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Did I make
yes,
that clear?
Absolutely.
Life is good here.
Ching,
really
ching.
Good. Yes.
And
by
Becky,
the
way, who is a female?
Our AHA, which is the biggest event for women in business, November 21st. I'm just announcing it here. At Stiefel, we'll have 3,000 women. So we produce that because it's so important.
It is important. And by the way, later today, Evan Thomas, great reporter, is going to join us on KMOX to discuss the life of Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. Debbie.
It's 8:49. We'll have round 3 of OT after this.
Overtime continues.
That is incredibly cool.
That's awesome.
On KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 8:52. Debbie Monterey along with Charlie Brennan and Keith Alper. Let's go to San Antonio. San Antonio's city council narrowly voted to prevent Chick-fil-A from opening a restaurant at the city's airport due to the company's alleged bias against LGBT rights. The council voted 6-4 for excluding Chick-fil-A from the overall restaurant and concession space. Does that surprise you, Charlie? Have you heard about other cities doing this?
You know, they're all kind of like melding into one right now where people are saying, I don't like your views, I don't want you to do business, but seems to me in this society there should be some sort of tolerance even for views that we disapprove of. And if Chick-fil-A opens, that doesn't mean anyone has to go there and buy a sandwich. So honestly, there's a good possibility San Antonio has just done Chick-fil-A a big favor by getting their name in the news. And people are going to say, man, I don't like that. I'm going to go buy a sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Keith, is that a good marketing
move? You know, I think it's interesting. I think more and more companies need to take a wide view. You know, for example, Anheuser-Busch in our city 20 years ago embraced the gay and lesbian community. With campaigns, with marketing departments, they could have fought it or they could have embraced it, and it's really worked out well for them. So our belief is companies need to talk to all types of consumers and not necessarily pick a side. And if it's the owner's religious belief, I guess he also has that opportunity. But, you know, they're not open on Sundays. By the way, I love Chick-fil-A sandwiches, maybe a little too much. But I also think if it's a government, they can just decide who and what. But I think marketing companies should market to a lot of different people.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And you're absolutely right. AB was so ahead of the curve on that one. I actually had a neighbor who headed up that division, which was marketing to, you know, gays and lesbians. And it was part of their business model. So, and they knew, you know, they don't care who buys their product as long as the dollar is green.
Right.
Well, we've been here before, but I guess we're here again. This is in New Jersey. Two Democrats in the state assembly are urging school districts to stop teaching Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, insisting that the masterpiece's use of a racial slur in its depiction of racist attitudes can cause students to feel upset, marginalized, or humiliated, and create an uncomfortable atmosphere in the classroom. Keith, do you think that it shouldn't be taught in schools or taught with, you know, a certain context?
I don't think we should change any history. I think we should embrace the history by learning and teaching more. So how do you teach it and then embrace and add things to how do we talk in today's society? I don't think you have to close up a book because that's the, you know, the kind of the freedom of speech. That's my two cents.
Well, my goodness. It's an American classic. It should be read. And there are many books that are disturbing. I just read a book by a 90-year-old St. Louisan who survived Dachau, a Holocaust survivor. And, yeah, trust me, you know, it's disturbing, but it's important information. And I give kids a little more credit than that. I don't think that kids are really going to be wigged out by reading Mark Twain. I think it's the parents who are or adults who are, I don't know, trying, again, it's a matter of tolerance. Are you allowing other people to open up their minds to views that you may disagree with?
All right, let's talk quickly in the last minute here. Everybody knows that Thanksgiving is about stuffing your face full of food and then watching football. The Philadelphia Eagles apparently aren't the biggest fans of the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions, both getting to host home games every Thanksgiving. And according to Pro Football Talk, the publication, the NFL confirmed the Eagles submitted a proposal suggesting the teams alternate between home and road games on a holiday. Charlie, would you like to see teams other than Dallas and Detroit host Thanksgiving NFL games, or could you not care less?
The latter, definitely.
I couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less either. Yeah. But, see their point. Why does Dallas and Detroit get to hog it every year?
Tradition. Tradition.
So. Yeah, that's right. Also, another tradition that should end is that it shouldn't all be the men in the living room watching the football while the women do the dishes. I'm just saying. I know all the guys are like, wait, what?
That's a good tradition. I like that tradition a lot.
All right, we're going to take a break here for news at the top, and then it's the Charlie Brennan Show. Keith Alper, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.